Welcome to episode 66 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Towards the end of last week, I was asked to give a presentation to a local business networking group, and it's this audio which I'm sharing with you in this week's show. Now, a lot of people have a very narrow perception of photography when it comes to the ways in which pictures can be used for promotion in business. Expectations are often based on bad experiences or misguided assumptions, and plain backgrounds and rabbit-caught-in-the-headlights style portraits often spring to mind. So, in my presentation, I decided to show a few real-world examples taken from my own portfolio in order to set the record straight. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 66. However you use photography in your business to promote yourself, your staff, your product, your service, that's what I do. What I'm going to tell you about today is how businesses in general use photography. I do a lot of social media. I don't generally do paid advertising, paid marketing, the likes of networking groups like this. People spread the word for me. I do a lot of social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. I think a lot of people, if they aren't using that, they're more and more coming around to the idea that they should be. And photography should be an integral part of that. However you have your images, whether they're sort of viral stuff, videos, whether they're captured on your camera phone, I've got nothing against camera phones, that's you know, it's a good thing. So, hopefully, there we go. This is a shot from 1908. This is actually, so I gather, some of my relatives on the Isle of Wight. Back in the day, people were very proud about their businesses. Even having pictures taken with your family, it was an event. People got up in their best clothes and they went out to be photographed. You've got your product on display, you've got the staff there, you've got the premises. It was a big deal, and people appreciated that, you know, you got the photographer there to document it. I'm not bitter. I think it's a shame that a lot of people are trying to take photographs themselves to cut corners, to cut costs. It can often backfire. I won't labour the point this morning. But quick question for everyone. How many of you, say, in the last 2 years have had photographs taken for your business? Doesn't have to be by a professional photographer, just something that you have used in your marketing. Yeah, so maybe half of you. And out of those of you that have, how many have been professional photographers, you've actually paid someone to come and do the pictures? Okay, so that's even less. All right.
I got a professional photographer, but I got it for free.
Okay, so somewhere in the middle. Fair enough. Okay, so those of you that haven't, you probably think when you're going to have your picture taken, it's going to be a mottled grey or white background. You kind of stand there and it's really uncomfortable. You might be stood there, you don't know what to do with your hands, you might be sort of stood, and it's kind of rabbit in the headlights. That's what a lot of people think, because there's not a lot of education. The way that I work, as much as taking pictures, I'm educating people about how you should be using photography. Graham will tell you about how you should be using design and printed material and websites. So, something like this. I like to work very simply. I have different lighting setups and all the rest of it. I don't run a studio. I work on location wherever I'm needed. I could turn this corner into essentially a glamorous studio, because you wouldn't tell the difference between shots there and shots in a, you know, London studio, if that's what was required. Something like these shots here. The background, I'd say, you can probably tell sort of fairly well given the light. Just using the windows in the backgrounds, which had the very typical blinds. If any of you that sort of deal with corporates, you know they like their shutter blinds. They work very well as a neutral background. Again, just regular people that, you know, sort of, this is to do with sort of community wardens and what have you. But again, just very simply set up. No one felt uncomfortable any more than that initial kind of anxiety. But often, it's safety in numbers. We'll have other members of the team or staff members stood alongside. I'll almost insist on it, say, look, stand here, just have a chat, you know, and it's up to me then to pick the moment when the people look the most approachable. With corporates and big business, a lot of it, they think they have to be very power suit and very sort of, you know, stage, what have you. More and more, you can start to have something like this, which is still professional. It's still, you know, uncluttered backdrops. This was, again, was just taken in their offices. People don't know what to do with their hands. This lady here has just got a railing in front of her. It's nothing special. It's not like I've used a prop or anything, but rather than people kind of, you know, because it affects your whole body. If you don't know what to do with your hands, it comes across in the picture. You know, if people sort of stand there with their hands in their pockets, it starts to ruck up the shirts and all the rest of it. But more and more, you can start to have the sort of shots that tell a story more, and we'll touch more on this in a minute. It doesn't have to be very staged. On this occasion, it was a case of I was there, I know, for a couple of hours or what have you, and sometimes I use lights which flash, and it's very obvious that I'm using lights. Other times, I might get 8-10 people around a boardroom table, a couple of lights which just bounce off the ceiling, so you can see there's no really heavy shadows, it's very neutral. And I work with quite a long lens, and that's for that reason you can see how the background's blurred out there, which in turn, you know, brings the subject into prominence there. But people don't feel alienated, because they just, you know, I say, look, just either have your meeting, or if we're setting up that staged area, talk about football, what you did at the weekends. The camera doesn't record the audio, so if you can actually say to people, just as much as you can, just be yourself, just relax and you know, talk, you start to get shots like this. You start to, you know, guys totally unaware of the camera, you know? It's one of those things that if you're going to be photographed, you may as well, or if I'm going to photograph someone, I want someone to come across as well as they can. Any of you know Herbie Armstrong? Used to play with Van Morrison, runs the fountain in Roland's Castle. This was not a posed shot. A couple of years ago, I did a book project. On a Thursday night, they had live music. And Herbie was just at the bar, talking to customers, what have you. And I saw him there, and I took the shot. And it's not a posed shot, because he was engaging in his comfort zone with his customers, and I say customers, friends, because as you know, as a pub landlord or what have you, your customers become your friends, especially if they're every week paying out on drinks. But then you have these kind of safety zones where people are within their offices and what have you, but you don't have to be confined to offices. That's when you start to think about context. Think about that initial picture that I showed you on the streets and what have you. It was obvious that the guys, the gentleman that was stood outside the building, came from that shot. They had their their clothing that protected them from doing their butchering and what have you. But then then it starts to get interesting. That chap is actually Harley Davidson's great grandson, I think. Well, yeah, I think that's right. I always forget. But again, this was shot up at Goodwood last year. But again, you know, there's different context that's involved there. I mentioned or touched on before the idea of illustrative shots. It's all very well having portraits for business, but of course if you're trying to get over your service and what have you, you think of a book. If you're reading a book, you have the main plot, but you need all the little incidentals that go along through the story to gel it all together. So last year, a chap called John Adams, who was on X Factor, didn't quite make it through, but he's got a huge following now online and all the rest of it. All the girls love him. Don't know why. He's got hair, I guess. But he did a tour, and this one was up in Pall Mall, I think. We shot this one. It was around Christmas time. That's why you've got all the, you know, out of focus lights and what have you. But you know, these pictures have been pushed around the internet, sort of being used in sort of, I say marketing, it's a similar sort of thing, just publicity, we'd call it in this sense. But when it comes to illustrative, I sometimes work with schools. I don't go in and make the kids feel uncomfortable and have their picture taken. Stuff like this, these kids in the science lab, totally unposed. There was no additional lighting at all. Just had one camera, one lens, and we just, you know, doing the same thing again in a couple of months. It's all booked in to do the same thing for prospectus, for website. They redesigned their website based around photography so that, you know, photography is the core part, and then you have the information that tells you about the school, the services, and what have you. So you get this sort of thing. The kids are just engrossed in what they're doing, as they should be. If they're at school, they should be doing that. Again, the teachers, this is in the art room, so it's clear to have all the colour, it needs to be lively, all this sort of thing. Sometimes, quite often, I'm asked to record events. It might be fundraisers, it might be press launches, it might be the launch of a new product or something like that. You start getting involved with the people that are there. Human interaction trumps everything, okay? There is a formula, I won't droll on about it here, but there is a formula that is PICS, and it relates to the person, the context, the interaction, this sort of thing, what they're doing. It's something that if you look at any picture in, say, The Independent, The Guardian, whatever, any really strong photojournalistic picture, you can dissect it, and it will always have this PICS formula. Let's see if I can remember. Person or persons, interaction, context, and subject. And if you want to find out more about that, I can elaborate more. But again, you know, guys, this young man here, very smiley and what have you. You've got his mum in the background who's smiling as well. It wasn't posed, it was just there. I started chatting to them, and that's how you get these pictures. It's 90% people skills and 10% technical. If I'm rubbish with the camera, if I don't know my camera's inside out, that's the end of it. I can't be on location and my client's not going to go. I say, well, what does this button do? It's a given. So let's bring it back to business. If you're talking about marketing and publicity, you're thinking of external use, websites, leaflets, that sort of thing, but you're also thinking of internal as well. One of my clients is an asset management firm, and every year I shoot their conference in London. They send their delegates from all over the world. They have speakers, and they have a panel. So you get stuff like this, which gets used in all these different ways. I've shot stuff where it's been sent straight over to New York because it has to be used immediately, all this sort of thing. But again, stuff like this, you know, we've all seen the pictures of the presentation with the flow charts and the rest of it, but those pictures work. That's the point. There's nothing wrong with taking typical pictures per se. It's just how you do it to give a spin, not just my own approach to it, but knowing the client and their business. And yeah, you get to, like all of us around these tables, you get to know your customers, to know how you can best provide your services to them. That's what it's all about. If you're doing fundraisers, if you're doing end of year banquets, or you know, you get incentive awards nights and sort of New Year thank yous and all this sort of thing, you know, that sort of thing. What should be coming across, hopefully, with this, everything you do within your business, whether it's doing a bit of networking, whether it's launching a new product, whether it's having new pictures, it's all marketing opportunities. I can't look at a situation within business now without seeing marketing opportunities. And a lot of people, until you start to get your head around that, a lot of people miss a load of opportunities. How many of you are on Twitter, Facebook? For business, this is, yeah? How many of you run... I don't need to know about that, Graham. How many of you run blog sites, like behind the scenes of what you do, yeah? Again, share your information, share your knowledge. That's what it's all about. Again, things like this, you know, interaction with people. So, this is a bit Graham's going to like. Brand and identity. Okay, sometimes it's very clear. Okay, we all know the Vodafone brand because it's everywhere. It's in like Red Bull. Red Bull have been very clever because they have associated them in a point with certain activities that if you see a guy flying through the air like a human bird or whatever, chances are he's wearing a helmet with Red Bull on it because Red Bull wants to sponsor and get behind and what have you. But I also work with the outdoor industries as well, and you'll see some of this along the way. But there's a secret location down somewhere in deepest darkest Hampshire, which I can't tell you about because I'm not allowed to. It's a disused railway tunnel, 0.6 of a mile long, and it's kind of invitation only. And it's amazing. But we shot a 2010 Junior World Champion on trials bike and jumping in the Enros for it. That was an occasion where we used wireless technology all the way down here. Half of the tunnel has been converted into bike ramps, and we used 14 lights all the way down. I don't think I've got an example of that, just as a teaser. You can see on the website. but that's an occasion where, using the technology that's available to me, 14 lights, no wires, all the way down this tunnel. In comparison with just having guys there doing their thing, no extra lighting. It's all about flexibility. But again, this is the Nike 6.0 brand. But again, very simple. There's nothing complicated. We all know the Nike symbol, but it is what it is. Okay. Then you get stuff like that. You all know Sunsail down at Port Solent? Again, natural colours. I'm not a big fan of spending hours on Photoshop tailoring my pictures. I haven't got time for that. I don't need to do that because since the first time I saw a camera at about age 8 or 9, I've known that you craft the picture at the time that you take it, and digital is brilliant and everything. It should be there to complement what you do. My skill set, my approach to photography is trying to get it as close to what I want it at the time. And this is a case in point. It was sort of twilight. Sun had just gone down. Don't know how well you can tell in here with the light falling on the screen, but you know, by all means come out afterwards and have a look on the laptop here. But the colours are so rich and vibrant, and I didn't have to do anything. But again, you've got, I mean, look, you've got the website how many times? Well, certainly 3 times there, you know. It's all, the brand is right there. It's an uncomplicated shot. It shows the website. It shows what they do very clearly. It's the boats. If you were to shoot the marketing campaign for Sunsail, you'd be out on the boats. You'd have all those kind of incidental shots that we were talking about. when it comes to endorsements, this is a friend of mine, Tom Kent. He's a session musician, and he is that good. You just want to slap him. He's, what is he now, 20 years old, 21 years old, and he's played with some big, big names. He was recently, I think, again, he was out in Frankfurt playing with Jamiroquai's bassist. He is very, very good. Again, I'm not a violent man, but I might make an exception. One of his companies that endorsed him is a company called Vintage. So we just went out to shoot some shots, you know, with very subtly the Vintage brand sort of in the mix there. But it doesn't have to be kind of obvious, here's a person stood there in a photograph. You end up having things like this. Think about music photography. It's a slightly different genre. There's a different feel to some the images often, the way they're used, the context that they're shown. Stuff like that. I'm always visualising. If I'm working with a client and I know how the pictures are being used, if it's a website or a magazine feature or a cover of a magazine, for example, you think, okay, so you've got the name of the magazine at the top, the writing. Once you start to visualise how the image appears, and this is not just me as a photographer, this is how you might think about using photography. If you've got a starting point, then you can start to think about how the photography will work best for what you need it to do. But I mentioned the importance of detail shots, getting a story across. This is one that is not about that, because I've forgotten this picture. Jessica Ennis, the Olympics coming up, obviously working with BP, with their eco-energy and all the rest of it. Again, this was shot through through one of the marketing sort of companies, what have you. You know, just using, it's just a basic portrait, but very functional. Things like this, people doing what they're doing, you know. People love to see flames in pictures. You generally don't get that effect unless you say to someone, can you please make your frying pan catch fire?
I've been to one of my barbecues every
time. But these detail shots in meetings, something like that, there's a notebook and pen, it's very generic. We've all seen pictures like that. But if you're trying to get context set, a lot of people, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with eye stock and that sort of thing, but so long as you're getting a photographer to, you know, paying a photographer to come and shoot, say, portraits or a meeting, if you say, actually, we want some supporting images, then the photographer should be thinking about stuff like this. Because you can use those pictures for what it's worth. When I'm commissioned to take pictures, I don't say, okay, you can use these pictures, say, for 12 months, and it's going to cost you this amount, and then the license ends there, and then you have to give me a bit more money, and da da da. I'm not interested in that. I want people to use the pictures as much as they can in all the channels that they can. At the end of the day, I'm happy with being paid what I'm charging. They're happy to pay it, and they should be using those pictures. They don't own the pictures, because the copyright remains with the photographer, but essentially, I am licensing the use in an unlimited period of time for those pictures. Factory units, behind the scenes, what people are doing. This company sends old computers out to, I think, third worlds, what have you. They recondition them and they get, you know, I think at the time I took this, they got through 285,000 units in a year. They're doing good work. But again, it's just showing the process of how they go about. This is one shot out of the sequence where you had the truck and it was being loaded up and the deliveries and all the rest of it. Again, think about branding, detail shots, context, all that sort of thing. Also work with pharmaceuticals and medical research, that sort of thing. You know, pictures that show, whether it's the company that provides these machines, it could be a news feature, it could be anything along those lines. Just a very simple shot, it is what it is. Again, the sort of shot that a lot of people have seen, something like that. I mean, how many times have you seen a shot like that? And you've probably, you know immediately what it is. And there's no confusion as to what it's about. A couple of outdoor shots. Are you all still awake? Is anyone asleep? Okay. Again, you know, motocross, that sort of thing. Colour is really important in there. There's no complicated backgrounds. You can kind of tell that it's the handlebar to a bike and what have you. But then if you're thinking about going out on location, if you were, say, a manufacturer of rucksacks or something, I've said to a number of you this morning as I was driving in, you see the lights this morning with the mist coming off the fields and everything. Time of day is really important. You don't always get the shots you want just when you happen to think you're going to take a picture. I don't care what time of day I get up if it's going to get the results. I, on occasion, had to be over, is it the far side of London or Essex or something, and it meant that I was up at about 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, to get up to Scotland to shoot a two-day campaign up there. I was going up the A3 at about 3:30 in the morning to get to Stansted or whatever. I forget where it was now, but you know, that's part of what I do. It doesn't matter because it's what suits the client's brief best. But again, coming just to sort of round it off a little bit, portraits don't have to be very staged. They don't have to be, you know, they should be exciting. They should have more of a feel to them. But then, as a lot of you know, I'm a big fan of nighttime photography. I think a lot of people, not enough people, use nighttime photography in their marketing and their PR because it's a very creative time of day. The colours are amazing. The just everything looks, sounds obvious, but everything looks different at night. And it doesn't have to, I mean, this is obviously in London, of course, but it could be somewhere like, again, Port Solent. Again, no extra lightings. I didn't stand next to, get an assistant to stand next to the boat with a blue light and a yellow one. It's all just natural light. cameras do funny things. If you know how they work and how they interpret light, you can start to play with that. A lot of you will know Goodwood. This was last year, Festival Speed. Again, fireworks and all the rest of it. But then a couple of final shots. A couple of guys jumping in the air on bikes. This guy over here, 15 years old, sponsored. He's just broken his ankle, but he's 15 years old and he's sponsored. Swine. I was just about to do a shoot, actually, and I was thinking, oh, brilliant, he's really up for going to do what have you. And then I looked on Facebook, oh, I've broken my bloody ankle. You think, okay, fine. But that's, he loves what he does. So if you, everything that I've spoken about, something like that, it could be the manufacturer of the bike, it could be him as an athlete, it could be the company that makes the helmets, it could be... it could be a trust where they've got a site which they're trying to get the youngsters involved and what have you with the building. So different settings. This is your last one. Don't know how well it comes across on here because it's quite dark. Again, same guy that you saw just in that last picture in the front there. Just another portrait, very simple. I think I used a couple of lights there, one to light here and one across there. But again, just very, very simple. And just to finally end off, I have my picture taken. I'm terrible in front of the camera. Do you see how it makes it look so I'm losing my hair? The camera lies. Sit down. The camera lies. But again, you know, it doesn't have to be standing there looking like a scared rabbit in the headlights. There's a lot you can do with photography. You can use your camera phones when you're out and about. If you're on Twitter and Facebook, show people what you're up to. Get a professional photographer in because that person is going to know how you can use the pictures. Or they should. If a photographer doesn't start to talk about all this sort of stuff, about how you're going to use it and how it works best for you, if all they're interested in is turning up and pressing a button and saying, there's 250 pictures, I personally, watch what I say because this is going to go across the world, I don't think they're doing their job. Because being a photographer is so much more than just being paid to take pictures. Any of you want to find out any more? My main website, there's examples of imagery. I am on Facebook and on Twitter. If you go to my main website, there's a link on there that says blog. That goes through to a site called theactivephotographer.com. And that is behind the scenes of what I do as a photographer. There's test and review stuff on there. There's the weekly podcast. There's... features about sort of lighting and what have you. It's a bit of a resource, as it were, so people can get a better idea. So that is basically me. And if you've got any questions, then obviously let me know. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Charles.
If any of the points discussed have raised questions in your own mind, of course, please do feel free to ask. I'm always happy to talk more about the subjects covered in these podcasts. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer, or of course send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast. CurrentPhotographer.com.